Welcome to Optometry Profits Revealed. I'm your host, Peter Precht. On this show, we explore the strategies and tactics eye care professionals need to thrive in this digital age. So put on your glasses and let's focus on the future of your success. Welcome to another episode of Optometry Profits Revealed with Peter Precht. Today, we're with Jennifer Gill with Eye-Tastic Services. Jennifer is a licensed dispensing optician of 10 years in Florida. She's got 18 years in the industry. And before we discuss things, I had a brief conversation with Steve, who gave me some nuts and bolts of what you guys do. But I'm going to leave it to you to kind of explain Eye-Tastic's beginnings, where you're going, and then also want to connect it with the state of opticianry today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Peter. Well, Eye-Tastic Services, we work alongside finding opticians, optometrists, techs just for the eye care industry. A lot of what we really aim to do is not just find people, source them, and place them, but also motivate, empower, because we believe in retaining good associates. It can be a little hard for certain areas, especially if you want to find like a really well-trained optician, but that's why we're here. We go through, we find active candidates, passive candidates, just to ensure that, you know, your needs are met for your business.
It's true. I know several places where opticians have, displaced is a bad term, but it's not necessarily untrue. Maybe earlier retirement than they were planning, that kind of thing. How would you describe the state of opticianry? Is there, because there's also a lot of young opticians coming into the industry too. Is there an average age you see, or is it a total mixed bag depending on where you are? Or
it's a mix, age between some of the younger ones, newer, but they come from all different areas. So, I mean, you'll see people going into the opticianry industry from, banking or, you know, some sort of sales. They want to start to get more into the medical aspect of it, but they may not want to go per se to like a doctor's office. So eye care is like perfect. You're still consulting with patients, showing them stuff. Right. So with that, I would say it's a mix. We get so many applicants from all over. Doesn't matter the age.
Right. I think that is awesome. And you talked about people coming in from other industries. That is really, really true because, I mean, there's a lot of gratification in what we do as opticians. But, you know, like you talk about, there's a whole medical component. There's a lot of things that can spark an interest inside you once you get exposed to an optometric practice and see what is going on. We talked a little bit about this just a few seconds ago when we were introducing ourselves. Like from when you launched Eye-Tastic to now, like what are the surprises? What are surprise avenues of business that you didn't necessarily think of when you very first envisioned what you were doing? Or for that matter, what has gone exactly to plan? What have you seen that's unfolded and examples of a practice where you guys really hit it right out of the park for them, that kind of stuff, you know?
I mean, there's been different opportunities. I know when we first launched Eye-Tastic Services, our main goal was, recruiting, finding people. And then when we start working more and more with the practices, we do see different avenues, a lot of the marketing aspect to it. And that's something we do work a lot with the clients with. And it's not so much marketing, it's marketing. So whenever candidates are looking at potentially maybe signing on with the practice, they kind of see how their culture is. So that was an area that we saw that was a huge miss in eye care, was just really promoting the culture and the brand in order to gain more candidates to it. And that's one avenue that I think there's still a lot of work to be done, and it's more for the eye care practices that need to, kind of work a little bit on the culture, just showcasing it. It's not saying they have bad culture. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying showcasing what their team's doing and making that warm, inviting, especially avenues like LinkedIn and stuff too, where most people go to look for jobs.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that because practices could be night and day with the energy. Like when you walk into some, you feel how they feel. I can sense it. So I would imagine the culture is a huge part of placement. 'Cause that's not always easy. And sometimes sometimes something that doesn't necessarily feel so warm and fuzzy for me is completely ideal for where they are.
It happens.
I mean, far be it from me to judge, you know, apples and oranges when these people are seeing, you know, 80 people in the morning. You know, they haven't even gotten into the afternoon, you know. So I definitely can understand that element of it. You know, you mentioned marketing as being, I guess that, I mean, that it's so involved. We were talking briefly. Boy, the way you promoted an optometric practice in 1995, 2005, 2015. I mean, you know, connect those dots. Is that an easier thing for you to do? Is it more work?
No, I mean, you know, with marketing, just have one of your associates. They can work on it a few hours every week. But you just, you know, you want that image, not just, you know, to patients. You know, you want that warm, like, hey, why should I go to you compared to person across the street? You know, what services do they provide? I know a lot of times, like even with the optometric, they're starting to get more into dry eye. So, you know, they don't showcase that. What if someone has it? They may go to their, you know, regular physician compared to, you know, an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. Right. So.
Right. And how would they know?
Yeah.
You know, other than the experience, you know, experiencing symptoms kind of thing. But yeah, that I totally agree with that. But that connects, I think, the social media component connecting back in with the culture. That's kind of cool because it gives... I mean, I've seen some practices that seem so nutty, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'd like that, but it's perfect for them. And they're really active. Like LinkedIn, you talked about, I've seen some practices that are just constantly posting videos on LinkedIn. I'm like, wow. I mean, how engaged them. And then I'm thinking, how do they have time to do this? that's the other part of it too, is like, but they are creating engagement. I mean, there's no question about it that it does work. And you have to start somewhere. That's the other thing. I was just going to say, like, how for a practice that has been around a long time, but maybe there's been an ownership change, how do they go? How do they go from that, you know, panel?
I mean, I would just do it. You got to start somewhere.
Dispensary. Hey, no, you're right. Take the step and do it. And I guess maybe it is easier than you think, but creating that engagement with, like I mentioned, like potentially an older client, people have reservations. I gather if they are an older practice and they don't see the younger clientele coming through, or they see something changing, or like we always end up talking about here, people leaving with prescriptions and remedies that we have, you know, obviously for that type of behavior, but you know, to kind of zoom some of this stuff forward in the business world. And we were also talking about the Eye Care Art Walk and how, you know, how is the metaverse, you know, going to integrate with practices? How is augmented reality going to impact purchasing, you know, and medical? And I really do believe that one of the cool things, more than one of the cool aspects of optical, but one of the main things about optical is the component of art with style, with fashion, with medical. There isn't a whole that doesn't exist in a lot of places. Not that it isn't everywhere, but it opens up other channels of connecting from a B2B level. You know what I mean? So to connect Itastic's services to this, you know, I guess what it is it creates an engagement with a retail space, but kind of a retail space that exists but doesn't exist, or people know about it but they don't know about.
Yeah.
How do people get introduced to this? And I think that's the purpose of what they're doing. The purpose of the Eyewear Art Walk, in my mind, from what I understand, is to bring in people, because there is a huge interest in a click and buy
I mean, world I think right it's now. Networking. I think it's really cool to, you know, like with the art walk, bringing people that might like a little bit more art, because glasses, they are a form of, you know, cosmetics. People should, I will say, probably have 10 to 12 pairs every year. It might be a little expensive, but you know, it's style. Right. I mean, it really is.
Oh, no.
So I think this is no ideal doubt. And connecting with different people, not just in eye care, is exactly what we need. We need that awareness going on, because it's going to help. You know, if I look at it from the iTastic Services point, it brings people more into eye care, but then it also helps expand the medical portion, the education out to other people that are not in eye care. So it's like a win-win all over.
Right.
But it's just I think engagement, just getting the people, word of mouth, bringing it in, lots of marketing, advertising.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, that's fascinating. The just how far reaching marketing can be, as opposed to when I began, you know, in the industry, it is kind of jaw dropping. But like you talked about other industries, we're talking about the interconnections, the capability of bringing services in that didn't exist. You know, you're running a practice, and for whatever reason, you don't have optician all of a sudden. What do you do? You know, I mean, if you're an OD, obviously you're learning to be an optician if it's your place, but that's not what you signed up for. And you're kind of pulling away from the practice in a way.
Yeah. It's hard going back and forth. I don't know how you do it. You know, it's just too much. Like, I love multitasking, but sometimes multitasking can kind of have a bad aspect to it. You don't do it as well as you would. So it's good to have somebody there, you know, dispensing glasses, troubleshooting, educating patients on different styles.
Right. And completely. And if you have to take that engagement remote until you can train your staff to do this as well, if they want to, you can function effectively in a lean way. Without compromising too many of your services. But like you said, you need that dispensing on the back end. And we had talked about, and this isn't rocket science, we know there's a shortage of ODs. But you mentioned that the shortage of opticians too. And that kind of surprised
areas,
me.
Yes. You know, you go to those rural areas and, you know, because most of those practices are super busy and there might be only five, you know, you're trying to bring them in relocation. So, I mean, those are the areas that are really, you know, patients want a trained optician there and there might only be five within, you know, 50 miles. I'm kind of exaggerating here, but, you know, it's something you see. And most opticians will stay at their position for years. I think my last job before this, I was there for 10 years. So, I mean, we kind of stick where we are because we enjoy it.
That's just so true. It's so true because it's about the patient connection. I know, you know, I'm in South Central PA and I had practices between like Pittsburgh and Erie, even in my safety days, that exactly what you're saying, experience the same thing where they're like, can't find anybody experienced that wants to come here. But they had this huge Amish population that loved them. Aww. And the relationships were rich. And it was a fantastic practice. It was a modernized barn.
Wow.
And the whole bottom of it was a practice. It was brand new and gorgeous. And but it was literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you could drive by and completely miss it. I certainly did when my first visit there. So you're right. This is a void, you know, and connecting those dots and offering, you know, something that can, you know, ease that pain is so huge. And it is sometimes it's this works or this won't.
Yes.
You know, in the case of the Amish practice, this isn't going to work for them, you know,
and yeah.
Mennonite, maybe, you know. Well, the reality is that, you know, there is a level of technology that can halt you in certain ways in certain places. Like you talked about, depends on where you are. You know, it's a very different environment when you're in Chicago and, you know, in St. Louis, even than you are in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. You know, those cities even have different requirements. You know, the populaces are different, you know, with what they do and where they spend their money, how they live, you know, it can be night and day in my mind. The other thing we have mentioned that I do want to talk about, cause you guys are pretty good with it in Florida, is education. It could always be better everywhere, but let's face it. There's a bunch of states that don't even have licensing or associations, and we're seeing a little bit of an outflux and hopefully an influx. Well, we are seeing an influx of younger, and like you said, opticians that were in other fields even, you know. How do you see this developing? Do you think, like, what's going to be the market answer to it? Is it going to go automated? That was something I was going to talk to you about that we didn't quite get to touch on before. What are your thoughts on automation, you know?
I like automation. I have to admit, my bank, it's an automated teller. You know, there's a real person behind the screen, but I'm talking to, you know, a computer or a TV screen. So I have no issue. I know even McDonald's now, you don't even walk up to the register. You just do it on that little cubicle thing. Kiosk. Order it. It's there. So automation to me, I love automation. I'm in Tampa, so I'm more of like the faster pace, like get in, get out, get in, get out. So with automation, I really appreciate it. As far as education, I think education is number one, especially in our industry as well, too. I know a lot of the associations, we're starting to get more state associations. The Opticians Association of America, they're doing a really good rollout with that. So I'm happy about that. But as far as automation, yeah, I definitely see it coming more and more into our industry.
And the other thing that we had talked about that kind of separates, you know, iTastic services from your competition per se is the fact that you bring a background of experience from the industry, from practice management, from being an optician. You know, you relate to their situation. You've been there. You've lived it, kind of thing. And it is different.
It is. And I mean, part of recruiting is it's not just like placing people and putting them somewhere where they don't deserve to be. It's finding that right fit. So having that background, understanding that even as opticians, some opticians prefer more private practice. Some of them prefer more corporate. Some prefer more medical aspects of it. It's just understanding which area they would prefer to be and ensuring that we're making sure that when they make this life-changing event, it's a good fit for them as well as a good fit for, you know, the practice as well. So coming from the industry, you know, we've managed all areas of it. We understand the operational aspect of it. You know, we always get it where people that we speak to, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're in the industry, and they're excited about it. Cause we say lensometer instead of lensometer, little aspects like that. So, I mean, it's not just that. That was a little joke, but you know what I mean?
I do. And it's, you know, in 10 to 15 minutes, you can tell whether somebody has spent some time, you know, working with patients in a dispensary of any level. A cool component that connects completely with just the raw education component is the practical part. I'm on the membership, head of the membership committee at the Optician Association in Pennsylvania. And, I do think that there's strong interest for that because there are people that come in and they're maybe expected to know some stuff. You know, 37 plus years, I still see stuff pop up that I'm like, what? I've never seen that done that way. You know, just amazingly clever ways to get really strong ad powers.
Yes.
I mean, it blows my mind. I'm like, that's really cool what you're doing on the back surface of that lens. How are you doing that, you know, with an old round seg or something like that? And I don't know. Where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. And that is one of the really most amazing things about opticians. They do tackle things that people don't, you know, maybe don't get the recognition for that, you know, within the industry people do. There are some, you know, there are some specialty people that do get some recognition, but often it isn't. Yeah, often it is kind of an unsung thing, you know. But again, bringing clarity into someone's world, night and day, you know. I mean, I think it was last year, I was 7 or 8 year old kid. I'm putting -4s on him, and man, you talk about his world changing, you know. Aww. I mean,
that's like the best too when you see that.
It is, you know, and I've been posting several of those on LinkedIn. Aww. Because obviously it's a feel good video, but I want people to view those videos and connect it with the professionals that are doing the job to make that happen. I mean, it is just as much about them as it is the clarity that's going on. But what it is, or what it's a little bit of an extra thing and a huge trumpet blowing for our entire industry, is that open gratification. You know, people don't get to see it all the time. You and I have seen it time and time and time again, where people get those glasses the first time, and it does not fall, the gratification doesn't fall short on me ever. But yeah, to make sure that people recognize what goes into that moment, or the precursors and the aftercare for that, you know, we didn't even touch on things like myopia management and things like that, but this, like you talked about, dry eye, myopia management, these are real things. I mean, my entire career, I've been putting high minuses on people and going, why am I doing this all the, you know, why is this guy go from a -4 to a -8 so fast? What's going on? And, you know, how come I didn't, you know,
happened so to my there's daughter, a lot involved. So grown up thinking the same thing, like how, like, but yeah, all that up close, right. And yeah, she loved that little phone. And I think the phone started to come right around time, like I think in the early 2000s when most people had cell phones at the time, unless it was just because I was like still a teenager. But you know, then she had it, and all of a sudden it just kept changing every year. I'm like, what is going on?
Right. Yeah, it's the truth, you know, and you know, we'll know more as things go on.
Of course.
But we can pick some symptoms up and do some things and change some habits and things like that. I was talking to my son just before our interview saying, hey, you know, I think while I love what we're doing right now, I segregate my time in front of this computer. I have to. I have to get out. I have to breathe the air, see the grass, the trees. That's critical for me. I know that works for me. Do what works for you. You know, if that's not a capacity for you, I have a daughter who lives in Center City, go for it. Walk the streets, do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Get out, experience it, get away from face and phone. Cause I do think it can cause a lot of other stuff beyond the eyes.
I try to stay off the social. I agree with you. Like, I'm a big gardener, so I love going out gardening. Just playing with my little plants. But yeah, social media, you get addicted to it. I try to stay off of those, because then all of a sudden I see myself scrolling, and it's not good for you.
Right. I totally agree. But it is kind of, you know, when I look at something like Eyewear Art Walk 2024, I think it is neat that it can go all the way around to all these different cities and virtually connect, you know, just like we're doing now, but in a lot of different ways. And a lot of different ways, a lot of different business implications, a lot of different product introduction that you can bring in, have already in place. This thing shows up in a city. Hey, we're already in these fine practices. Whew, you're ahead of the curve. But, you know, to have that experience where people can go and put something on and see something they saw in Omniverse City before them, you know, I think that's really cool. I think that's going to be fun. I think that's going to be awesome to involve, you know, people, practices, opticians. You know, opticians are going to need to select what they need to go forward, because they're being removed from the sale of glasses. Online eyewear sales are real. They happen all the time. It's not going to slow down. You can't even get accurate numbers from 20, 21, 22, which I think is nuts. It's, you know, it's way more than tens of millions.
Yeah. People like the easy, you know, so easy. Enter the prescription in there, click submit, done. Half the time. And, you know, that's why I think like with this, it's perfect. Just bringing people together.
Totally. You know, give the opticians a professional chance to advise in that environment. Yeah. Hopefully that advice can take those sales back through practices. I mean, that is our goal, to keep the practice growth going and to fill that void for you. You know, this has been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate you giving me the time and having a chance to talk about what iTastic Services is doing and where you're going forward. And even the marketing part, I could talk for an hour about just the integration of marketing, what social media works where, who follows what, age group, all that kind of stuff. You know, to me, those are interesting, you know, analytics, you know, and I think there's more to it than I have a clue. That's for sure. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I really appreciate this.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Peter.
Oh, this has been wonderful. I look forward to having you again somewhere down the road, hopefully soon.
Yes.
We'll put all the links to Itastic Services. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for checking into another episode of Optometrist. I just butchered that, so they're going to have to edit that. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Optometry Profits Revealed with Peter Precht. Take good care, and we will see you soon. Thank you for tuning in to Optometry Profits Revealed. Remember, amidst disruption, there are tremendous opportunities to lead your eye care business toward increased profitability. Contact me, Peter Precht, for a free consultation today at icclearly.com. Let's turn these ideas into your profits.